Good afternoon. I'm Linda Carlson, your host for Wellness Watch. And today, Denise Phillips, a certified diabetic educator, is joining us again to continue our discussion about type 2 diabetes. Welcome, Denise.
Thank you, Linda. It's great to be here.
I'm glad you could join us again. Last month, Denise and I introduced the topic of diabetes. And since type 2 diabetes is the most common form of diabetes in the United States, and millions of Americans have been diagnosed with it, we wanted to spend more time talking about seven things that people with diabetes can do for themselves and how you, if you have diabetes, can change some lifestyle behaviors to better manage your condition as well as prevent disabling complications associated with diabetes, for instance, blindness, amputation, kidney failure. If your kidneys fail, then you need to go on dialysis. So we want to talk about some things that are really going to help avoid those terrible consequences of diabetes. Now may be a good time for our listeners to take out some paper and pen, because I think Denise is going to be sharing some very valuable information with us. The seven topics we'll be covering over the next several months include healthy eating, being active, monitoring — in fact, today we'll spend some time around monitoring — taking medication, problem solving, reducing risks, and healthy coping. Healthy eating will be covered in March, when we'll have a nutritionist as a guest, and she'll talk about diabetes and nutrition. But today we'd like to talk about something called evidence-based medicine. We want to educate you around what's driving your physician when they ask you to follow a certain plan of care. We'll be talking about targets and how monitoring things like blood sugar, your lab values, and blood pressure, as well as salt intake, can lead to better health. So I also want to mention to our listeners that Denise and I will also talk a bit about some challenges around making changes and some strategies for setting and achieving goals. So Denise, I just used the word goals, and that can be daunting for some people, particularly since this is January 2012, Year of the Dragon, by the way. Happy New Year to people out there that are celebrating Chinese New Year. And so for the beginning of the year, people, they have this mindset around New Year's resolutions, and we know what happens to them. Mm-hmm. So I believe we're talking about something more than just resolutions. You want to elaborate on that a bit?
Sure, Linda. Those are really great thoughts. And, you know, resolutions are temporary. New Year's resolutions are so temporary. And most times, people drop off from them after a month or so. But what we're talking about is goals for a lifetime, lifestyle changes, or small steps that you can take towards your better health.
You know, you just used the word lifetime, and I like that because I think many people with chronic diseases think that their lifespan is going to be limited. And that could set up some fears around, gee, I don't want to confront what's happening to me right now. So when we use lifetime, if you take good care of yourself, I mean, you can live a long, healthy life.
You're right. And these, they call modifiable risk factors, things that you have control over. There's so many things, and we may have mentioned this last time, you can't control that you have diabetes. It may be in your family genetic history, but what you can control are certain things like what you eat, how you exercise, following your doctor's treatment plan, taking your medications, and some of the goals that we're going to talk about today as far as monitoring.
Okay, so I expect that part of the plan the physician might ask somebody to carry out, you mentioned monitoring, would be, okay, how do I know how I'm doing? Well, I have to know how much sugar is in my blood, correct?
Exactly.
So talk to us a little bit about monitoring blood sugar. What are some of the challenges, some fears? How much does it cost? Where do people get equipment? Those types of things.
Those are all good questions. And, you know, again, having a conversation with your doctor is the first step. also a resource we can provide for information is the American Diabetes Association, and their website is www.diabetes.org. That's O-R-G. And they have information about if you're new to diabetes and on many of the topics that we're discussing.
Great. And for people who don't have a computer at home, Hudson and Catskill, I think they both have, you know, really good resources around use of computers there. So either that, or we know that all the kids today with their iPads and their iPhones. So find somebody to help you get to that website. It really is extremely, I think it's accessible, easy to navigate,
mm-hmm.
a lot of good information.
Absolutely. And you can also access them by phone. There is an 800 number that I don't have in front of me,
okay.
but certainly from the directory or through the website, you can access by phone for information. So back to the monitoring. What is monitoring? Monitoring is really a method to assess the effectiveness of your management plan and on your glycemic control, your blood sugar control. Like you said, Linda, you know, what is my blood sugar? Where is it at? Is my treatment plan working? And how do you find these things out? Well, there's two different ways. One is the A1C test that the doctor does or you have done in the laboratory, and the doctor will give you that result. And the other is to monitor your blood sugar at home with the testing equipment.
Okay. So what kind of equipment do you need? What's out there today?
Well, the machine that does the testing is called a glucometer,
mm-hmm.
and there's many, many models on the market now. And your listeners may have seen multiple commercials about some that are fast, some that take less of a sample of blood for the test itself, some that talk to you if you have vision issues. There is just many, many models to choose from. And sometimes your insurance company may cover the cost of the model and the equipment that goes with it, the strips that you need and the lancets to prick your finger.
So what we want our listeners then to do is check their benefit. If they
mm-hmm.
if you have health insurance, we know that many people are not covered. But if you have health insurance, check your card. There's usually an 800 number for customer service, and they'll let you know what benefits are available to you. Neither one of us are at Medicare age here, so we're not really good resources about what Medicare can do for you. But again, you can go on the website or check with your physician's office and see if they have some literature around Medicare and what Medicare can offer for you.
Right.
Because I know there's a lot of commercials, and in AARP magazine,
mm-hmm.
you'll
mm-hmm.
see those commercials. So, yeah.
And Medicare has a website also,
medicare.gov. Right.
Or 1-800-MEDICARE.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, now, I have my equipment, and I know
mm-hmm.
that I have an A1C and a blood sugar. What are some of the, I know we use the word targets, so we have something to try to achieve and reach for.
Right, we have targets, and then you have frequency of monitoring.
Okay.
So that's a big question today, you know, especially with type 2 diabetes, because what the American Diabetes Association, or the ADA, recommends is that unless you're on insulin, your frequency for testing your blood sugar may be different for you as an individual. And what it depends on is your needs and your goals, which, again, you're discussing with your doctor.
Right. And so what is the A1C target? What's recommended for somebody with diabetes?
For the A1C, you want to have your A1C below 7% when you have diabetes, because they've done studies that demonstrate that will reduce your risk of those complications by more than 50%.
Ah, so you just used the word studies.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us, so there's some evidence out there. Somebody's doing research and testing and finally coming up with this number that says, of all the people who have the A1C below 7, they're less likely to lose their eyesight
mm-hmm.
or to have cardiac complications. So that's our goal, and that's evidence-based. So you could, you know, learn how to talk to your physician at a higher level. That, gee, I want my target to be at 7 because evidence suggests that that's where it should be to help avoid the consequences and complications of diabetes.
Exactly. You're absolutely right,
yeah.
Linda. And along with that, you're monitoring your blood sugar at home. The American Diabetes Association has set some general targets for when you check different times of day. So, for instance, in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and you can find this on their website.
Okay.
It's part of their clinical recommendations. And again, it's only a general guideline. You and your doctor may have a more specific plan for you based on your needs. But their general guideline is in the morning or before a meal, your general target, 70 to 130.
Okay.
Then they have another category of after a meal, which is about 1 to 2 hours from the time you start eating, and it should be about 140 to 180. And their third category is bedtime, a few hours after your final meal, and that's about 110 to 150.
Okay. So now that's three times a day, and I'm a working individual, and you're counseling me. You're trying to get me to check my blood sugar a little bit more regularly, and I say, you know, Denise, I get up and I'm late. I tend not to get out of bed early enough to check my blood sugar, so I don't know what it is in the morning. And then I'm embarrassed at work that somebody would know I'm a diabetic. How would you help me get on track here? What do you think?
That's another good question. We all lead busy lives,
yeah.
And the answer may be different for everyone. Again, you're going to first have that conversation with your doctor about
right.
what's best for you.
Okay.
If you may only need to check once a day, a couple of times a week, or a few times a day, it depends on your needs. If you're going through an illness, you may need to check more to see how your blood sugar is responding to that. If you're exercising a lot and that's new for you, you may want to check your blood sugar more frequently to see the effect of the exercise. If your medications are being changed by your doctor,
mm-hmm.
And again, that may or may not apply to you.
So it sounds like I've got some options.
Absolutely.
And I just need to have that conversation with either another certified diabetic educator or nurse practitioner or,
mm-hmm.
or my physician. Depends on the office that I'm going to. So I've got some options, and based on what you're trying to do for me, and they'll give me some guidelines. And maybe it won't be so overwhelming if I'm thinking I have to do this all day long.
Absolutely, and it may change from time to time over the course of your management of diabetes. Now, of course, we're not talking about people who are taking insulin,
right.
because that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
It can cause low blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So you may need to check your blood sugar more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're pregnant and have diabetes, there's a whole different set of guidelines to maintain a healthy birth and child. So you want to follow your doctor's guidelines for that.
Okay, so let me just remind our listeners that Denise, a certified diabetic educator, I'm Linda Carlson. We're talking about type 2 diabetes today and not type 1 because there is a big difference. Type 2 diabetics still probably making some insulin, not being utilized by the body in the best way. Type 1 diabetics have lost the ability to produce insulin, has to be replaced. So with insulin, there's a different type of care plan for that than with the type 2. So I just wanted to let our listeners know what we're talking about if you've just joined us. So the blood sugar, very important. It's something we can see immediately.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I know you tell people a lot is, okay, now I have this blood sugar. I've taken it. I've taken it at lunch. What do I do with it? Should I write it down?
That's a good point, Linda, and especially because a lot of the meters out today have memories that it's recorded in there. And that's great. People bring their meters
mm-hmm.
to their doctor. Some of them even have associated computer programs that you can purchase that will convey your numbers to the doctor, to the physician.
Wow.
So, but again, that may be too
right.
costly. May not be an option for everyone.
But it sounds like I bet I would even download into my computer and I could have a nice log and...
Exactly.
And see what's happening.
Exactly. Or if that's not an option for you, good old pen and paper.
which some of us still use.
Right.
And sometimes it's helpful to actually write out your numbers because it gives you an opportunity to identify patterns. So let's say, even if you're checking your blood sugar only a few times a week, according to your doctor's recommendation, maybe at 10 a.m. your blood sugar is always high or always lower, or it's higher in the morning or it's higher in the evening. That information is important to bring back to your doctor to see if your treatment plan needs adjustment.
Okay. But I also, I think that I had read something around, and I know the nutritionist will spend more time, but for an example here around patterns, so in the afternoon I have a snack. And before dinner, I've got this really higher blood sugar. It might tell me just to go back and look what I'm having for a snack.
Mm-hmm.
I might be having too much of what, a carbohydrate or a fruit that what they call high glycemic.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us a little bit about the high glycemic part. Would that, what
well,
does that mean?
You know, everybody's an individual again, so there may be certain foods, and what you're referring to with the glycemic index are most of those white foods that you hear people talking about, like white bread, white rice, and for some people, they really spike their blood sugar very high, so you have to be mindful of the portions or the foods themselves for you as an individual. Well, you'll find that out if you keep a log, and you can also make a notation of what you ate, what your exercise was, to give you even a fuller picture, you and your doctor. Sometimes taking one of those after meal checks, which they call postprandial, it's hard to say, but PP for short, will guide you to a better portion of a carbohydrate. So maybe you are having pasta or rice with your supper and you have a certain amount. Maybe that's too high. It's going to spike your blood sugar over 200.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe cut that back by a half a cup
or
some portion.
And then replace it with, if you need to have that food, a healthy vegetable,
exactly.
Green, sort of the free vegetables.
You're right. Or a different carb.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They also do have online tools where you can record your numbers, you know, without buying a computer program or app.
Yeah, right. We're laughing because both of us are so app savvy here. So I think we probably covered quite a bit around the blood sugar, but another important target for people to manage too is their blood pressure. Can lead high blood pressure, extremely high blood pressure can lead to stroke, can lead to, again, a loss of kidneys because the vessels going into the kidneys now, they get damaged. So blood pressure control is also very important. And I think Denise will probably have some of the similar things to tell us around monitoring blood pressure, but go ahead, Denise, and
that's another really good topic, and blood pressure is so connected to so much of our health, like you said, our heart health, but also our kidney health. When you have diabetes, you know, you're at higher risk for coronary artery disease. So between that and your kidney function, blood pressure gains more importance.
Yeah.
So again, your target may be set with your doctor. For a specific number. In general, the American Diabetes Association recommends if you have diabetes, your general target is less than 130 over 80. But yours may be different.
Okay. So the target we're hearing now, the recommendation from an evidence-based perspective is that below 130 over 80. And it really is important because we know that if you have diabetes, your risk and chances of having heart disease are very, very high. They pretty much come hand in hand. So really managing blood sugar and blood pressure, very important.
Exactly. And, you know, when you go to your doctor, ask for the numbers. Ask for your A1C results. Ask, what is my blood pressure? A lot of times we'll hear people say, oh, my doctor said it was fine. And that's okay. It's great if you trust your doctor, but we all have to be proactive in our own health nowadays, especially nowadays. It's so important. If you know your number, you can track your progress.
Right. And I appreciate what you just said about, you are in control. It's your life, your lifetime, and that physicians... There's really no reason that a physician or provider, any provider today, would not be willing to manage your care to evidence-based medicine. So if you continually take care of yourself, you've reduced your salt intake, you are walking. We'll talk about that at a later program, but we know walking can help manage blood sugar and blood pressure. You're doing all the right things, and your provider is not interested in reevaluating your medications. It's time to ask them why, or possibly look for a new provider. I know it's very difficult when you live either in Greene or Columbia County. Many people don't have transportation they need, which I might put in a plug actually for the healthcare consortium. They do arrange for people to get to appointments.
That's terrific.
Yeah. So so the people in our listening area, you do have Dutchess County, Albany's a little bit further, but you can look around. You can go on the website and look for providers in your different counties. So it really is important. It's all about you. All about you. So, again, about the equipment for blood pressure. I mean, what are some options for people? And we'll go back to this coaching people. Well, I don't have a blood pressure cuff, and I'm really not really good about it. What would you say to them to help monitor their blood pressure? What are some of their options?
Well, some of the options are your insurance may cover a home monitor for you. A lot of the pharmacy stores
have
little sites, blood pressure sites.
Even Price Chopper, I think I see one at Price at their at their pharmacy site. Yeah.
Okay. So that's an option for you. And it may be worth mentioning also, for some people, it may not be an option because they would be doing their blood pressure like every hour and getting anxiety over it. So, keep that in mind as well. Again, go back to have a conversation with your doctor. What's going to work with you?
Yeah, right. Yeah, because those fears, in fact, I think we have talked with people who they'll say, I'm taking my blood pressure and I'm so anxious, and then their blood pressure is going up because they're monitoring it. So,
Right, exactly.
The point that I'd like to make, and we are coming up here, we have about 3 to 4 more minutes. The point is that find somebody, and the whole thing about knowing your numbers, when the physician says it's fine, I would keep track of it, because let's say you needed some kind of care after hours and you go to a urgent care, and your blood pressure is somewhere where you think it shouldn't be, and you say, well, it's always been fine. That doesn't mean anything to the person who's trying to care for you. So it's really good to have that history, as well as when we're talking about logging, keeping a list of your medications
Absolutely.
That you're on. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, your care may change. Your health may change. You may have another illness or injury that you're being treated for that's going to affect your blood pressure or your A1C, your blood sugar.
Right.
So it's important to have all these specifics written down that you can, again, coordinate your care with whatever doctors you're seeing, as well as follow on your own.
So before we wrap up, I think there's one more monitoring piece that we want to just let people know about, and that is, and I can never say this word, the microalbuminuria. So it's testing for protein in the urine. So
you said that word very well.
Oh, good.
Good job. And, it's a test that the American Diabetes Association recommends is done annually, or you have a discussion with your doctor about your kidney function at least once a year. The presence of microscopic protein in the urine indicates a very, very early sign of any kidney damage. So that if you have that detected, it can be treated promptly. There are medications, blood pressure medications called ACE inhibitors that help to prevent kidney damage. And that, again, may or may not be for you, mm-hmm. but it's to have that conversation with the doctor. And checking your kidney function once a year is preventive.
Great, great. So I think we'll wrap up here. What we started the program with today was setting goals and targets. And these targets that we've talked about, the A1C, which is your three-month average of your blood sugar or the blood sugar, these we're talking about evidence-based medicine. There have been a lot of studies done that show if you stay within target, you can reduce your risk of the complications of diabetes, which are blindness, amputation, kidney failure. Kidney failure leads you have to go on dialysis. So there are simple things that you can take charge of. You're in control. That is your blood sugar. I think one of the fears that I hear people talk about is, oh, my grandmother was a diabetic, and she started taking care of herself, and she died. Well, that was a long time ago. We've come a long way. You know, those terrible ads for cigarettes in the past, you've come a long way, baby. But we have come a long way in the treatment of diabetes. So monitoring your blood sugar, tracking it, monitoring your blood pressure, and monitoring your kidney function, seeing your physician regularly. I think typically if you're newly diagnosed, your physician might want to see you every 3 months. That doesn't have to stay that way. You get in good control. You can make that visit just twice a year. Save money.
Absolutely.
We know that the cost of health care is not attainable, you know, for some people, and that they don't go to the doctor because of that. But you certainly can take better care of yourself. So,
and the fear, Linda, the people who are afraid of the numbers or of the results they get, that's very common. You know, you're not alone in that. Just, it's important to remember that if your numbers are elevated or out of range, it means you need some attention to your treatment plan.
Yeah, you do just, in fact, one of our friends had mentioned to somebody, they said, you know what, just because you don't want to talk about your numbers doesn't make them go away. They are still there, and they're still working on your cells and your kidneys. So, do make that visit. Visit the website, the American Diabetic Association. I think that the other, actually we forgot to mention, also you can check on the internet. Check for endocrinologist offices that have a nutritionist, a certified diabetic educator. The hospitals, I think, I'm not sure if Columbia Green still has their diabetic program. Call Columbia Green, Columbia Memorial, and check in to see if they have some programs there. So thank you, Denise. And again, in March, we will have a nutritionist, and Denise will be back with me in April. We plan to follow this program of diabetes probably through the summer. You can send questions to info, at wgxc.org. We'll be glad to try to answer them. And we can also, maybe if we have callers, help you work through some of those challenges and barriers. Gee, I can't do this. And we'll see if we can't do a little bit of wellness coaching here for you on the air. So, again, thank you very much. And this is WGXC. 90.7 on your dial from Accra, Hudson, and Catskill.